Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's some transactions that happened today. And I want to know, we want to know if you're, that was you. And the caller ID, the bank is RBC, and the caller ID was RBC Prevention, which is like,
dude,
which is what the bank calls you on. And it's a 1-800 something number. So I was like, okay, it seems kind of legit.
Probably one digit off from the actual number.
No, but it showed up with actual text on it.
Well, yeah, you can spoof that.
How? Then it shouldn't fucking show anything.
You can spoof. I mean, you can like hijack SIM. Yeah.
But you can spoof caller ID. There's a website that I remember I somehow did it. I called
what
people.
What fucking year do we live in?
Pretended I was somebody else.
We have.
You know what? Fuck me. You know what? Keep going. I can't believe this is still a problem.
Basically, he was like, oh, did you buy this? Did you buy that? And I was like, no. And he's like, also, this morning, we see that your limit was increased to like 10,000. And he's like, did you do that? And I was like, no, like, I haven't even logged on the bank
today. I buy appliances that cost me more than
10,000. You mean it was decreased to 10,000.
Like, they decreased it.
Exactly. who decreased it? No, so basically I was like, that wasn't me because I didn't log on. He's like, okay. And it sounded like he was wrapping up. He was like, oh, okay. Like, if that's not you, then we'll send you. And he confirmed my address. He was like, is that a good address to send that to? Which is like, and he had an email too. So it's like probably just some invoice or something he had, just like had an email and an address on it and a phone number. So that's like easy. But I was like, okay, that's fine. And then I was wrapping up. That's why I kept saying 1 minute because I thought he was just going to go, oh, you're going to get a new debit card and that's it.
Yeah.
But then he was like, oh, okay. So that's when the scam part started kicking in. Because he was like, and he probably has no idea what he said wrong. Because I just didn't even say, I was like, bye. just like.
He called me back, what, twice?
Exactly. That's just like a double confirmation that it's a scammer. But basically he was like, oh, your limit, we're going to put a freeze on your account. Right. And I'm like, okay, that's no, but I'm like, that's normal. If there's like, we had fraud recently and they froze our account. So I'm like, that's fine. But I know with banks, you don't have to do anything. Right. They just do everything. Yeah. So then the guy said, he was like, oh, and on our side, this is my first thought. He's like, and when we freeze your account, he was like, we're going to generate you a new password and I'll give that to you. And I'm like, ain't no way an RBC, a bank employee, just sees my banking password. That's like not a thing. So that's when I was first like, that's a scam. And so I was like, okay, I'll let him say it. So he's like, I'll give you the password. So I typed it out and then he goes, okay, your account is still temporarily active. He's like, but to lower your limit from 10,000 and to help with the freeze, you're going to need to send money to yourself. And I'm like, okay, this does not sound like either my bank is completely non-functional or
the problem is that a lot of businesses, a lot of infrastructure, have you ever gone to like a AT&T store? And you have a problem.
Yeah, what do they do? What do they do?
They take your phone to the back.
No, even worse. They'll like get on the phone. They have to call like the corporate help. So now you have an employee in the store. They literally, everyone has trained you to like expect that the systems are so shitty that a bank employee might actually treat you like this because they don't have any access to a system.
I mean, I agree, but my general thing was I remember when a bunch of passwords years ago was leaked from a website. And there was like, I think it was on Reddit or something. People were going off about this whole leak.
Yeah.
And one guy was like, if you ever sign up for a website and you know what tells you your username is, or you say recover password, if it ever tells you what your password is, they're like, bad news. So it's like any good system, nobody at the company can ever tell you what your password is.
They don't store your password. They store a hash. And so you you give them a string of text. It does some math. And then it gives a result, and that is a very unique result. And then they store the result. And so when you type your password in, it sends the hash. They get the result. They compare the result. And so there's no like, there's you can't like
so if they get if they get hacked, yeah, whatever.
Why couldn't you just intercept just the hash?
They just get trapped. Ben.
Sorry?
Where's the hash converted, on your end or on their end?
It might be dynamic. There's like, I don't know exactly how it works.
I mean, it's just like, you know,
it might
there's somebody change. With a job who figures this all
yeah.
out.
Yeah. I think it might change cryptography, with right? time. It might yeah. change, you know, it's like a rolling code kind of thing where like, I don't know. I'm not actually exactly sure how it works.
It could even be like real time as well. I don't know. But I can guarantee you banks
like public private
do not thing. Banks don't just have their employees generate passwords and no. then give them out to people. Like that's you're literally just asking for mass levels of criminality.
Right. No, they are though. That's the thing is they yeah. fucking do this shit and then no, people
the
people
the
are
bank
like
will
oh,
never
right.
tell
like,
you what your password
I guess
is.
This is how well your average user is so fucking stupid that the IT department can't do anything to stop them from being stupid. Like they literally cannot stop their employees from being like the number one source of fraud in the company. Like imagine, Kevin, we were talking about this earlier. Okay, so you spend $100 million on your IT infrastructure. You have an employee that opens an email that says, click here for a $20 gift card from their boss. They click it, compromises the entire company server. Do you know what high security facilities do?
They don't let you open
John
outside
knows.
Links.
This no they fucking there's no internet
oh well yeah
there's no there are rooms that are completely sealed off from any yeah. fucking data connection.
I mean I have friends that have work phones and home phones mm-hmm. so they have to turn in their personal cell phone when they go to work and then they get their work phone yeah
like you cannot stop the weakest link, which is the absolute morons using your technology.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also generally like the weakest link at any level is just people. Like you can have all your technology limits and everything, you know, to protect things. But just at the end of the day, people are going to just spill secrets as well. So like one other thing that you can do is that's why, again, the RBC employee will never know your password because you just don't want to have that liability.
Yeah.
Like as you go down, there's less info that you get.
I was so close to being scammed almost the exact same way as you, Nigel. And I only realized it at the last second. So I got a call from like Chase customer support and they said like, oh, somebody's been trying to set up like an employee payment account under like with your account and they've been paying themselves money. Mm. And we've stopped it, but we need you to go update your settings on the employee payment page or something like this. So, and I'm like, oh, okay. So I like log into the website and they're like, okay, so what you need to do is like you have to create a master account. And then give it permission, like, you know, give it admin permission or something like that. And then only you control that account. So you need permission from this account to create new accounts. And I'm like, okay, whatever, sure. And so I ended up like doing this. And then he's like, okay, now you need to enter, like, it's asking for a code. So put this code in for the account. Because when you create a new employee or a new account, what it was actually doing was like a Bluetooth pairing code. So it's like he had a code for his bank account. And if I put that code into the payer account, he would have had control of that account basically. And it said like, do not enter codes from anybody like that you are not trying to give money to. And it, like in big letters right there, it's like, do not Kevin's enter like, codes unless you are trying to send this person
what
money.
What if they just made the whole system more confusing and convoluted and fucking it calls your phone, it does an email, it does 1,200 different things. So when a scammer gets in, they can tell you goddamn
so
anything.
So he's telling me I'm
it.
Creating like an admin account. And then like what I was actually doing was creating a new employee and I was putting his payment code in there and then he would have been able to just like take money out or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then I'm like,
I think
so.
How was the guy on the phone though? Did he seem normal or was he kind of pushy?
He was pushy, which felt weird. And
that's what I'm
he didn't
say,
seem like super professional. You know, he's like, hi, I'm Chase Fraud Prevention and employee number 7652 is my badge.
Before this conversation goes any further.
Yeah.
There's only one rule for everybody listening to this. If your bank, in air quotes, if your bank calls you, tell them you will hang up and call them back. And you call your bank back through a trusted source of that fucking bank's
phone
number.
The number on the back of your card.
The back of your card or their website. Do not talk about fucking anything if they called you first.
What happens if the guy who called you got to the back of your card and changed the number.
Yeah.
I think at that point, you just accept your fate and fucking get scammed.
Your life is already fully under their control. You can't do anything.
I found a credit card on the ground the other day, right? That's okay. Sick, right? Free money.
Yeah.
And I, that's how it works. I call Chase Bank and I say, I found this credit card. What do you want me to do with it? Like, give us the number, give us the this. And they're like, oh, and what is your first and last name? And I was like, abso-fucking-lutely not. Uh-huh. Am I going to give you my first and last name? I will give you the numbers on the card and I will ask you what you want me to do with it.
Yeah.
I could, the fucking audacity to ask me for my fucking first and last name.
Are you going
to
send me a gift card?
Like, are you, you think?
Yeah.
In what goddamn world am I going to, you want my social too, assholes? Ugh.
Yeah. What's your card number too? Ugh. You know, every time you call them, they're like, please enter your card number, your account number.
What
I want to say is like what Will just said, my general rule about not getting scammed is like even through email and stuff. If you get an email from like PayPal and it says your account is weird,
John, you never follow a single link.
Oh, that window. You just never follow a single link from any email. You just go to the website separately, log in, and if there's no notification, then it's not a problem. Or like you said, you call back your bank or just tell them, hey, I'm going to go into the bank.
Yeah.
And if they ever tell you
not to,
oh, no, we can just do it over the phone. Then, you know, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Because if they're an employee, they'll be like, oh, yeah. Okay. If you go to the bank, you'll get this sorted.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
like, if you're going to do that now, then that saves me time. Like, boom, solved.
The bank employee, if you say you're going to call back, like they will never fight you on it. They'll tell you like, oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
Which I yelled at Chase once because they did exactly the thing that gives scammers the opportunity to scam you, where they're the behavior on the phone where they call you and it's like, stop calling me. Like, tell me to call back.
Yeah. Tell me to go into a local branch. Yeah.
Fuck.
My mom was so paranoid about scams though. So yeah, I think it was the bank who called her. And my mom is on her like paranoia arc. She was like, cause she kind of got scammed by some people. So the bank calls her and she's like, how do I know you're the bank? And they're like, they give her some info. And I was like, well, I want to call back. And she's like, I mean, the problem is our department, you can't call back.
And I was like, that's not my fucking problem.
Yeah.
That's the thing that lets people fall for fucking scams.
But it was so funny. Mom's like, well, how do I know you're not scamming me now?
They fucking spend on fraud prevention and then training people to fall for fucking scams.
The thing that's funny though is my mom's like, she felt that the girl was legit because she was, unlike scammers, she's like 0% pushy. Because my mom's like, well, how do I know you're not the scammer? She's like, honestly, you don't. She's like, I don't know how to prove this to you. And then my mom eventually said, call you back.
Yeah.
My mom though was like, can I just go into the bank? And then she's like, yeah, that could work. She's, if you feel better doing that, just go into the bank.
Yes.
So my mom was like, she noticed the difference between like scam callers, how they're like always trying to talk you out of that. Whereas like the actual bank person, I think even said, oh, like I'm so-and-so. You might be able to call through, like, whatever, get forwarded through by calling this other department. I think my mom did that and it worked. But it just ended up being that there was zero pushiness versus like that guy on the phone. He's like, oh, is this a good time? Do you have a minute? And I was like, I have literally a minute. Actually, no. I said at first, this isn't a good time. He goes, well, we have to talk about this. And I was like, wait, so why'd you even ask me? And then when I said, I only have 1 minute, it became like much more dire for him.
Yeah, I got scammed. Well, I'm not sure I can share this story. The one story I can share is I think when I was making the AdSense account for the podcast.
This happened to a lot of YouTubers.
There's a very strict rule for whatever reason in AdSense where you can only have one AdSense account. So the podcast is its own business. And so it can have its own AdSense account, or so I thought, right? Because it's like, I have an AdSense account.
Yeah.
The podcast has an AdSense account. It's separate.
But it's only one per email address or something, right?
It's like per person.
Per person. Oh, it's like per person.
It's per entity.
Okay.
But it like, but when you don't have a business, it's like, oh, it's per person. So I made an AdSense account and I swear to God, the next fucking day, before anything had been confirmed, you know, the AdSense sometimes takes a second. It was like, I got a a weird message in like Google Hangouts. It like popped up.
Yeah, in your inbox.
In my inbox. Yeah. And it was like,
I got that too, actually.
Right. And so Same. It's not an email. It's like something weirder than that. And it's like, oh, you have multiple AdSense accounts.
Message thing or something. Yeah.
Right. Like we've determined you have multiple AdSense accounts, which is not as allowed. So we're going to terminate your AdSense account. And I was like, oh fuck, what did I do?
Oh yeah.
The only clue I was like, I was spiraling with that. I was like, what the fuck is it going to do? It's just the fact that it came through Google Hangouts was really weird, but I'm like, it knows that I have two AdSense accounts and I just made it. Like it was like the stars aligned and I could see God's asshole.
Yeah, because a lot of other YouTubers got that message and they're like, what is this stupid message? Right. Like whatever.
And then you have me who had literally just opened a second AdSense account. And so like the only thing that was like even remotely a hint was that it was to a weird email address. Like the hangout was targeted towards, it might have been like the public email address at that time, which is like,
it was the one you use.
It was like, how did, because I don't use that one when I like talk to YouTube and I don't use that one for logging in. And so I'm like, how did this get here? Like, where did this come from? Like, whatever. So I messaged, and there's this thing, it's like, I messaged somebody at YouTube that I know. And I was like, hey, here's this thing. What is this? But like that was the closest I've ever been to a knee-jerk reaction where I was like ready to like click on something.
Oh yeah.
And that was like a huge eye opener for me. I was like, we realized you put the right person at the right time in this like super specific situation, you will nail like even 0.01% of people. And that's enough if you're sending out enough of these messages.
Yeah.
Like it's so easy to get scammed.
So wait, what was this scam? They end up taking control of your AdSense and get your payments?
It's like a phishing thing probably where they, you know, I never even.
It's like they have you enter a password something. And then they know that, then they can use it in the future.
I never got that far. Like I never even responded to it, but like I did respond after the fact, but like it spiraled like the most emotional I've ever gotten about a scam.
Yeah.
And I, before even saying anything to the scammer, I immediately went to a YouTube employee, which like not a lot of people can. And so then they'd have to like message support, and support would be like, we have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. And then they'd be like, oh, well, AdSense is a different part of Google, so you got to talk to somebody else. And now you start entering the like, these scams work at all.
So you got the word out probably about that scam pretty early.
Dude, that account got terminated in like an hour after they sent a message to me.
Yeah. And other people probably, you know, if you have to go through the normal support channels, good luck. No, it might be a couple days.
It might be days. Yeah. And they would probably tell you something like, oh, I've had that circle with AdSense before where it's like, oh no, sorry. Like that's it. We're going to have to have you talk to somebody else.
Oh, you know what they would say? They would say like, yes, it is true. You're not allowed to have more than one AdSense account at a time. Thank you. Like, please see this support page on our website. Yeah,
what I wanted to say though, is that, I know there was another, so for some reason, I think it was someone who worked with Mark Rober. He got duped by the scam and he made a video about it.
Oh, yeah.
That he's like an anti-scammer guy. But then,
Just
like you, he just happened to mess with AdSense. And the day he got that email, he was like, okay, well, that makes sense. And if I vaguely recall, that was kind of like the premise of the video is like, my existence is to fight scammers, but the stars aligned and it made sense in that moment. So even though I'm like vigilant, I still got scammed.
Yeah. That's what anyone who says that, oh, if you fall for a scam like that, you're stupid. Like you are so fucking wrong.
As long as you're super skeptical, because I got that again, I didn't have like that moment with the AdSense stuff, but I got the message and it was funny because like what I always do when I get an email is you check like the server or whatever that it went through. And then the email that, sent it, and the email was like ytsupport@creator-partner.com or something.
Yeah.
So I did was I highlighted the domain, hit enter, and it was just like said it was an unregistered domain, and I'm like, okay, garbage, and I just moved.
Fucking
on.
Google probably does that shit too.
They
though.
Do. I've had that exact same thing happen before, where it's like,
but the domains exist under Google. Dude, it's kind of like how if you were to. If it's what they screw with you sometimes, it would be like creator or whatever, like support at, and it'd be creator.google.com. That's probably real. But if it's google.creator.com, it's not real because the domain is creator.com and they just swapped the words.
Yeah, but there are some weird ones where it's like, you know, google-form xyz297.com.
Yeah.
or something, you know, and then you try going to that and it's like you don't have authorization to view this page. But if you click on it from the link they sent you, then you do have authorization. So it's like people are conditioned to, I don't know.
I'm lucky because I'll just ignore that's a problem. I'll just ignore things.
My general thing again is like what Will said. If before I make any change, I will get confirmation from somebody who knows, you know, kind of what they're doing. And even like on the AdSense thing, if you log in, I'm like, for sure there's a warning on your account. There's no way their main system
they would absolutely not fucking display anything.
Then it's done. I'm saying if you log into AdSense and there's no warnings, I go.
You're like, it could still be. It could go anyway because nobody fucking makes any of this shit.
No. Yeah, nothing on AdSense makes sense.
I toss it out of my brain. I go, you don't have that.
Yeah.
I just, like, for example, like the reason why, it's like, I think it was PayPal. I got a scam email. This was years ago. And I didn't click on it. It was like, oh, all these, whatever, something's flagged. So I just log into PayPal, didn't see any alerts. Oh. Not my problem.
Dude, my PayPal's always flagged. I always have to re-link my bank accounts, get two 2FA codes to type in.
Wait, is that actually real or are you getting scammed every day?
I don't even know at this point. No, I don't
Kevin's too ADHD to get scammed.
They've scammed me too many times on PayPal.
Kevin's mega scammed.
I don't even like going on there anymore because every time I... Did you hear about the big one?
No.
The big scam recently?
No.
So... Oh,
I thought that was a setup for a joke.
I know.
Yeah, the big landmine.
No, you're like the big one. I thought it was just going to be a one liner.
No. This is a few lines, a couple dozen lines to this one.
Okay.
So there was recently a group of people that stole $250 million worth of Bitcoin from.
Oh, yeah I heard about
from
that.
From this one big investor in Binance. So and how they were able to do it was. They had fake numbers with fake caller IDs and they hit this guy from like multiple directions at a time saying that
that's
his account was compromised.
So bad.
Google support saying your emails have been compromised. Binance support saying that your accounts have been compromised. This is what you need to do. And he's like bouncing back and forth between calls and they get him to screen share his desktop. And from there on, they're like, okay, so I'm going to read you I need you to confirm like the last four digits of your private keys for your Bitcoin address. So he pulls up his whatever document with all his Bitcoin keys, reads off the last four digits, but it doesn't matter because they're screen sharing. They got his entire, all of his private keys. And it was like a couple dozen different wallets and they stole all of his Bitcoin. And this all happened in like a couple minutes. There's actually a Discord call between them. From the moment that they get on the call with them or something to the moment that they get the money. And it's a bunch of like 20-year-old kids.
I feel like those scammers worked harder for that $250 million than the Bitcoin holder did.
Yeah, well, think about it from his perspective, right? If you can afford $250 million in Bitcoin, you're probably getting like VIP treatment for everything, like top-tier customer support. So he's like, you know, he's probably much more susceptible to this kind of stuff. Like,
I don't know.
That's so
just
bad.
I think there's like few things where it's like they're just probably if you can program it in your brain to just look for certain like just to listen for certain red flags, you can just kind of not necessarily even hang up because sometimes there are like Will was saying or that there are like legit things that sound sketchy, but it's like at that moment that's when you start asking more questions, which could then raise more red flags if it is sketchy. Just like the subtle one, like we said before, is like them being pushy. But also they're just like tiny little details of them asking like sharing your screen. Yeah. And sometimes they'll be like, how do you share your screen? Oh, we just use like, and they just give you like some sketchy screen sharing software. Yeah. And you're like, like there's different ways or they use weird emails or I don't know. It's like
they do this every day though. They are pros. Like, imagine, like, every single day you scam people.
Oh, yeah.
You are going to learn the ins and outs of how to navigate some of the most, like, awkward things to answer about, like, why do you...
But, yeah, you build out that decision tree. Yeah, like
you're going to get so good at it. So, like,
I mean, even the bank one that just the guy was saying, you have to send money to yourself to, like, you know, to nullify this
like,
in the
sir,
system.
That makes no goddamn sense. And I'm going to, if this is actual bank protocol, I'm switching banks to one that's not living in the fucking Stone Ages.
But wait, is it really that surprising, though?
No, they live in the fucking Stone Ages.
generally the way that like any bank works, and I feel like I'm not a banking master, but there is not a single bank, I would say, or reputable system that makes you do something to, quote, trigger something in their system, unless there's like literally they're addressing some very specific glitch that you called them about. But if they call you and they're like something simple, like, oh, we need to change the limit of your account. But to do that, you have to send money. It's like, what?
But it's called social engineering, though. Like, they'll come up with creative roundabouts to get you to, like, they'll spend 20 minutes to get you to a point where you fathomably understand why you would have to send money.
Yeah.
But
like, they'll take take you from point A to point B of like the scam. It's like, oh, give us money. It is like building trust.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like doing it the long way to when you get to that point, you've invested so much time and energy and you just want this whole debacle to be over that you're like, okay, I guess that makes sense. I trust you.
Yeah,
I've known you for 20 minutes. You haven't tried to scam me in that time frame. Why would you try to like fucking bring this to a close by scamming me right now?
Yeah.
And then you get scammed.
Well, it's like, so the guy saying you have to send money to yourself, that'd be an example of like, anytime you have to send money at any point ever that you didn't expect, that's your red flag. And when, for me, he's like, you have to send money to yourself. I'm like, okay, duh, that sounds very, that's, I'm not sending it to anyone. That's not a scam.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
How could that be a scam? I'm sending it to me.
Worst scammer ever.
The moment that that happens, you go, oh, well, I'm not really that comfortable like sending money. I'll just go into the branch. And the guy was saying to send $10,000. Like, it's not a small amount of money. Joke's on him. I don't even have that much money.
Oh, so he wanted you to send $10,000 to yourself?
Yeah, and he obviously didn't see my bank account because I don't even have close to that in the bank account. So what an idiot. That's like a major red flag.
So what do you think the next step in the scam was? Okay, now send the money to yourself. And for the recipient address, I'm going to read you your own account number. So put this in.
I have literally no clue how he was going to weasel that money would be sent somewhere
else. That's why it worked so good.
No, but here's the thing. The moment someone ever says to send money, that it's not a call you made, just always do like you said, I'm going to go into the branch. I'm going to call. Like,
I'm going to call.
I'm busy now. I'm going to call back.
Any fucking information at all. If they ask you for any goddamn
information,
do not. You immediately fucking hang up and call the bank. You say, I'm going to call the bank directly.
No.
Yeah.
You edge the scam as long as you can. That's what I do. Yes. And that's how I almost got
got my actual real bank account terminated is for telling a real bank employee to fucking suck my nuts.
I know.
What do you mean it wasn't a scam?
Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, this next part isn't the scam. It's going to be the next part. And it turns out it was that part that was the scam.
Can I tell you something also that blew my mind when I was having to make payments and stuff and doing wire transfers? I was like, I looked this up and I remember reading a forum post and I'm like, yeah, that's interesting. When you go, what's it called? I'm trying to think of the exact, basically, if you have a checking account, you have like your checking number and your routing number.
Yeah.
And if you want to get paid, you can send it to somebody to say like, this is the, this is what you wire your money to.
They can pull money out.
Yeah. They can just take money from you.
Yeah.
And then
fucking 21st century of banking.
I remember reading on the forum, the guy's like, wait, so if they can just take money for you, what's stopping them? They go, oh, well, fraud's a crime.
And I'm like, wait, so what? Somebody has your account number, they can just steal money from you?
And yeah. They can just take your money.
Pull money, Kevin, out of your account.
Yeah, it's because it goes both ways. Yeah. If I hired you and was like, what's your checking and whatever routing number?
Yep.
Yeah.
I want to pay you. I could just take money from your account and then it's up to you.
Okay. You know, when give a company
that's the part that I'm confused about. How
do you pay with online banking? You give them your routing and your account
and
number.
Your account.
That's all you give them.
To
and
take
they
money.
Just pull the money out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those are like trusted.
Welcome
that's
to.
That's like, you know,
doesn't
who does that
matter
is like
who it is.
Your utility bill.
Yeah. How can somebody.
And I think you have to like link that to your bank account. There's like some online.
No.
Kevin, you are. Kevin doesn't believe it. No,
you're
like, you can just take the money.
That the system will punish them for doing that. You're
like
trusting.
A handshake.
Yes. You have a handshake with the system.
The computer's
trusting that they will not let somebody pull that money out unless you have agreed.
Oh, I guess you could just like write the account number on a check, right?
Your account number is on the check. A check has both pieces of information.
Oh, so somebody, it's like somebody has your checkbook. They
if
can
they
just
have
fill
your
it
checkbook,
out.
They could, no, they don't even have to fill it out. They can take your account and routing number are literally in the numbers.
Yeah, I know,
check.
But if I stole your checkbook, I could just say like $1 million
and
to
you
Kevin.
Give it to the bank and they give it to you.
Yeah.
And then the person's just praying to God, the bank is going to say, this is fucking fake.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually that bad. They don't even need fucking locks on the goddamn vault. You know why there's no locks on your checkbook? It's because it's not the bank's money. It's yours. You know the bank has less money in its vault than you have in your account? Like you're probably average. I bet you the bank only has like a couple tens of thousands of dollars in cash in every location.
In every location. Yeah.
Like I would be surprised if they had like $100,000 at any given moment inside of one bank.
Everybody should go to the bank when they're listening to this podcast and try to withdraw as much money as they can.
Do you know
across the entire United States all at once?
Do you know the most uncomfortable conversation I had with a banker?
It's a social experiment.
When I bought the excavator, so I paid like $14,000 for it. And I went to the bank and asked for cash, $14,000 cash. The guy looked at me and he was just like, and I was like, what are you talking? Like, this is my money.
Yeah.
Like, this is my money.
Why are you making me feel bad about taking my own money out?
I'm sorry. I'm like, is there a problem? You can't give me my fucking money.
I was going to say that basically when you go into the teller, part of their job is to stop fraud. Because for example, I was buying some big expensive Chinese thing and the guy is so suspicious. Do you make purchases like this often? No. What's the company name? I don't know. It's on the paper, right? What are you getting? Oh, it's just like a, can you describe it to me? It's like a machine thing. The guy's like, are you sending this on your own free will?
You're like, dude, do you really want me to explain this machine to you? Like,
he was so hesitant.
Yeah.
Will
walks into a bank. He's like, yeah, I'm here to buy an excavator from some dude off Facebook Marketplace. And he's
like,
I need $14,000. And they're like, I don't know.
Definitely. No,
you look like an excavator guy, you know?
The guy actually asked me, how old are you? This is like 3 years ago. The guy's like, how old are you? And I'm like, he's like confused. He thought I was like 21, just sending lots of money. He didn't believe it was even he didn't believe I had a business.
Well, that's rude of him.
He asked for photo ID.
Just pull up your YouTube channel instead.
No, that always makes it worse.
That's even, there's more questions.
Talking about sending money, I was buying UV lamps from China and I sent a wire. It wasn't like a crazy amount of money. I think it was like $2,000. And like a week or two later, normally they're pretty fast. This guy is like, I don't have it yet. And it kept going back and forth. Like, he's like, I'll check the bank. And after a while, I'm like, am I getting scammed by this guy? Like, this is an Alibaba guy. So it's usually they're very legit. So I'm like,
yeah, Alibaba will crawl up in their assholes.
And when they've been on Alibaba for like 12 years, you're just like, okay. So I'm like, okay, I don't think this guy's scamming me. I think there's something weird with the bank. And what he was saying was that something weird, like in the message that I sent, I didn't include the address or a detail about the order. So the intermediary bank was not releasing the money to them.
They wouldn't tell anybody. They wouldn't ask you for clarification or anything.
So my mom calls our bank and that is the current situation. It has not been claimed, the money, and it is not being claimed because there's an issue on the other end.
We know it's you that sent it. We know that there's a problem. And yes, you're right. We've never fucking reached out to clarify or help move this along.
Yeah, with the other end.
Because if you let this go for 2 weeks, guess who gets to keep the money? We do. Go fuck yourself.
Well, no. You're going to like how the story goes. So eventually the guy's like, I'm like, can I just pay through like Alibaba Pay? The guy's like, yeah, that's fine. I pay. And like literally 30 minutes later, okay, got payment, arranging production. I'm like, why didn't I do this 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
But regardless, my mom calls and it was, it's because they didn't want to pay the fee of $30 or $50. It was like 20 more than the wire. I don't know.
Yeah.
So my mom calls our bank and they're like, yeah, so the intermediary bank is somewhere in China and we don't have proper relations with them. So we're going to try to get the wire back, but we can't guarantee it. And if we do, it could take up to a year to get your money back. And they're like, but if not, unfortunately, it's a loss. And I'm like,
it's like,
where does the money go? Like,
what the fuck do you do in this building all day?
Yeah.
You have one fucking job. Like, I get better service from a goddamn McDonald's than I do from a fucking bank.
My question
bank.
Is, does the intermediary bank go after, what is it? Like some, I don't know, it's like statute of limitations thing. Like after a year, they're like, our money now. Like if they don't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, do you think banks charge you fucking late fees and account overdraft fees and account balance fees for any reason other than fuck you, give us your money?
You know what's funny? The statute of limitations is always like, If it's an error on our side or something, like if we owe you money, the statute of limitations is like, it's three. No, if the bank owes me money, the statute of limitations
your
is like
goddamn life.
No. If the bank owes me money, the statute of limitations that I can go after the bank is like 3 weeks. And if I owe the bank money,
is it actually?
They'll have, well, for taxes with the IRS, it's 3 years. If they owe you money, you forfeit it in 3 years. If you owe money to the IRS, forever. Until you die. And then they're going to take it from your kids.
The real trick, though, I remember reading a story about there was a dude who he said it was like an old saying. They're like, you owe the bank $1 million. That's your problem. You owe the bank $100 million. That's their problem. Yeah. And this one guy was like, when you owe the bank, there's a certain threshold where you owe the bank so much money that they buy you things. Because if they don't want you to declare bankruptcy, they want to bail you out. They'll apparently take you out for like 5-star restaurant dinners.
They'll like lend you money to start your business.
Dude, you should have just kept not paying off the cards.
But they'll like really try to like be on your good side. And they're not going to come after you because then they know they'll lose everything. So like they have enough to lose that they have to be really nice to you.
That's really funny.
I bet, there's probably a certain point where they're like, oh no, this guy's going to fail and we're going to lose all of our money. So we need to like invest in this guy's business and like take it over for him.
Dude. It's kind of like
angel business investing. CEOs.
Think about that. It's like if you know somebody, a friend of yours, and it's like they owe you $1,000 and they're kind of scamming you, you're kind of pissed and you're like, in your fantasy, you're like, oh, we should just beat them up one day. Because you just let go of the thousand. But if they owe you like $1 million, you're going to be like...
Specific.
No, I don't... No one
if your friend owes you $752 and you want to murder him...
This is the chemical
I'm saying, like, it... You
turning
might
a
be
living
like,
person
oh,
into a dead person.
you want to take action, but if you know somebody who owes you $1 million, you're like...
What
well,
can
if
I do?
I beat them up, just like, I need to be careful or I'll never see this money. Yeah. So I'm going to be like,
hey, just a couple
I can't
bucks,
make him
man.
In, I can't make him an enemy. What, Kevin?
Just a couple bucks, just a little bit right now. Don't worry about the rest, but just, we'll talk
you're
about
like,
that
I'll
later.
A
swear to God,
plan.
I'll pay you back either cash or with other services that I can render. I feel like that's probably the only time in my life that I've been like even close to getting
fully scammed.
Yeah, it was. The YouTube AdSense one, and then actually scammed was open source. Because that's just like there's so much communication that it's like really easy to get inundated with like emails and invoices and this and that. And you just kind of, you basically, if you can't trust anything, like if you can't trust that, oh, this email that looks legit and has information that I'm familiar with that shouldn't be owned by anybody else other than the people that I trust. Like if you have to start like microanalyzing everything and like looking at the domains of the emails that are being sent and it's like, cause everything's compromised. Like you're like living in a world where you're blind. Like you basically have no sensory input. You're like, you're just like schizophrenic at that point. You're just imagining.
I don't check my bank account often enough.
Oh my God. I got in a fight with the lady at the bank years ago. Cause it's just like, poor, just recently graduated William. And it was like, for a couple of months they'd been charging me fees and it's like, they don't let you know that, of course. They don't tell you, oh, we're charging you.
Oh, so when you finally check, you're like,
yes,
what the hell?
Exactly. So what happened was my parents had like made a new account for a remodel on the house. And then somehow that like got upgraded to like the higher account balance kind of thing. And because I had opened that account with my mom when you have to like co-sign with your parents for a bank account, it somehow got tied to my account. And so my account was always under the balance because I didn't have any money. And so I was getting charged these fees as if I had had like $50,000 in the bank account. And so I went in there and I was like, hey, like, why am I getting charged these fees? Like I never did this. Like I never asked for the higher account type. And she's like, oh, well, it's your responsibility to check your account balance to make sure. And I was like, fuck you.
Uh-huh.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Don't fuck you. Like it's my responsibility to check my fucking
to make sure that we didn't fuck it up.
Yeah, to make sure that you didn't fuck up my account type that you're charging me. I never, because I was trying to get the money back. I was like, I needed that couple $100 for like the 4 months or whatever it was charging me.
Yeah. Wow, you didn't get it back?
No.
Damn, dude.
Nope.
Go ahead, Nigel.
No. You go.
I have never been scammed. But my God, somebody has stolen a lot of money from my banking accounts over time.
Really?
like, what? I catch it. I've gotten 90% of the money back.
Yeah.
But it's been like, you know, sometimes I'll go, I'll open up my Chase account and it's like $2,000.
Hey, gone?
Gone. To like some shoe store in New York City. So I call fraud department and I'm like,
what the fuck?
Yeah, like, come on. Like, every time I try to buy something from AliExpress, I've got to, like, verify all this. But, like...
Yeah, some asshole can just, like, yeah. Find your fucking card number.
And at
somewhere.
One point, it was happening so often. Like, I would get a new card. They would give me, like, close my account, give
how
me
is
new
it
ones.
How?
I don't know. It must have just been some service that I was using. I have no idea.
I'm convinced it's happening to me.
It's like every... It's like, every
I don't have any money, and I don't understand
every 6 months, you know, something would happen. And it got to the point where I'm just like, okay, now I got to fight with the bank again. I got to prove it's not me. And they're probably wondering what the hell I'm doing. Yeah. And I'm like specifically being more careful now.
Right.
It might've been some like local business or right. like credit card skimmers at gas stations.
I downloaded a program.
But like I stopped buying stuff on like online completely for like a year yeah. at one point. And then after like some time, I noticed like nothing. Nobody stole any money from me. And I logged onto my business account and I saw that there was one charge for $250 to the PlayStation Network. And you know what I did? I did nothing. I just watched it because I'm like, I don't want to have to go through all this again with the bank. And like, you know, 30 minutes of a $250 is worth not having to do a 30-minute phone call with the
yeah,
bank.
Yeah, and then fighting with them and fucking.
Yeah, waiting a week for a new credit card.
Yeah, dude, I downloaded a program called GNU Cash to do my accounting because I was like, fuck, I got to go through all this shit and like,
yeah.
do like profit. And like, I hate all that. I hate that stuff so much. I was like, I don't want to pay for anything. So I just downloaded this program. It's like this open source, free, really like it looks like some shit straight out of the 90s for accounting. And it has like some cool tools. You can import your bank statements.
Yeah.
And it will try to like when you go through and categorize them, you can make categories and it'll try to recognize future statements that you import.
Okay.
And going through it, fucking every business changes the like description.
Oh, yeah,
of
like
how
the code or
like,
something.
I mean,
yeah.
McDonald's in all caps.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then like 4 months later, McDonald's, but like some caps, some lowercase.
Yeah.
But it's like, how the fuck does every business that charges you money not just have like some identifier attached to it that is like, this is the thing that charged you money? Like, why? Does the name change? Like to the point where it's not, it's like the text should be fucking identical. Like, you know, when I make a payment to something, like it's like my name is on it.
Yeah.
Like William.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
William Osman paid this thing. So why is it that when I use my card or my bank to pay for something for a business, the identifier that's tied to it, which you know in the back end has a unique ID that sticks to it. Every yeah. fucking transaction is tied to some really robust identifier.
You know,
but
my
for
theory,
me, I have to go through and now fucking read these descriptions and recategorize them and refigure out what they are every fucking statement because they change.
Here's my theory, and I don't know if it's right, but there's a lot of apps mm-hmm. nowadays that will unsubscribe you automatically from like recurring payments in your bank account. So maybe it's to like try to break that pattern. Where if they don't see the same name in a row, they're not going to think it's a recurring payment and they won't like unsubscribe you. I don't know.
I think I appreciate that conspiracy. I think it's just gross.
I just thought of it
incompetence.
Myself.
I think everyone's just so fucking stupid. That's
but it's
it.
Harder.
Except for us.
It's harder to change the name than to right? just leave it. So.
Yeah. No, I know. I think that's why nobody thinks of it.
That's the like, miracle. The stupid miracle is yeah. somehow they've made more work for themselves and created a yeah. worth experience for everybody else.
Have you ever seen a charge that has like a name tied to it and it's like UP*SEC?
Yeah.
And you're like, I have no fucking idea. Like the only hint you have is the date of the transaction.
Yeah.
And the amount of money. If you have to fucking categorize it by knowing that, oh, I know that I spent $8 at a burger restaurant in the airport around this time.
Yeah.
Therefore, this is food. That's the only hint it gives you. And you have to like know what you spent. Is psychotic. It's actually psychotic. It yeah. won't even like what how are you supposed to use up you UP*SEC to figure out who the fuck took your money.
Wait, Nigel's been trying to say something for a while now.
No, I don't have anything. I was going to say, though, you could solve all your problems. Just do cash only, because then you'll never remember anything you bought. All you know is you have no money at the end of the month.
Then you just get stabbed and mugged by somebody on a subway.
I have one category in my accounting. It's doing business. And all my money gets spent on doing business.
Office supplies.
Fuck off. I'm barely holding this together as is. And you want me to spend 5 hours doing fucking accounting that doesn't mean anything anyways? Because none of the fucking bank statements tie it back to goddamn anything.
I just remember before I was 18 and I had a credit card. Like I said, all I knew is I started the month with like $300 and I ended the month with like $50 and I have no clue where the money went.
And it's nobody's goddamn business where it went either.
Your accounting was just whatever cash you have at any moment.
Which strip club is? What's the strip club called that you used to go to, or that you still go to?
That we're gonna go to.
What are you talking about? I can't reveal these secrets. You mean the one that Alan?
Yeah.
Want to? I can't say.
Okay. Why is that close to your house?
No. I just don't want a name of business.
If they know the address, they basically can find Nigel 12 hours a day.
Exactly. Yeah, that's actually where I am right now. You think this room is in my office?
You spend so much fucking money that you build your goddamn lab inside the back of the strip club?
I set it up right there.
Dude, you could start your own. You should start your own.
Yeah, I would.
Kevin, you think I didn't think of that already?
Bro, you get the owner discount. Talk about abuse of power.
Well, I brought some snacks.
How is Nigel supposed to eat the snacks?
Yeah, what the hell?
I got a bunch of little treats in here.
You look like a
I went to the candy store.
Oh, so you why? Okay, I don't understand those button
these,
candies.
I used to love these when I was a kid for some reason.
I think you were wrong.
I think, number one, they're pure sugar. That's literally just sugar and cornstarch.
Yeah, but most can't. I never understand them. I get them, but there's always paper on them.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like, do you know when you're doing something, you're building something and you need a certain tool and you're not using the right tool and your life's miserable, but you just want to kind of get it done? That's how I feel when I eat those candies. Like, it feels like they're not.
He just peeled it off with paper.
Like, I'm so, I only eat them when I'm desperate for sugar, but I know the experience is like not, it's like very suboptimal.
Wow. You actually can't pull them off without pulling paper fibers. With it.
It doesn't matter. It's just paper.
No, but there's also the work of having to just like, thank you. There's also the work of having to pick each individual one off and not get paper. Like it's work. No. And then the reward is kind of bad.
You got can just it. Like, you can, if you like fold you it up like this.
You can't even see it.
Yeah, wow. You can just peel them off with your teeth and it's fine.
That's like actually floor scrapings at the candy shop.
They're good. They used to be like actually my favorite.
Like, why don't they just put it on something that just like doesn't peel paper off with it?
Gross incompetence.
Like, don't even have the paper.
Because everyone's
fucking
dumb.
Then what would it stick to?
Wax paper?
Nothing.
Okay,
I just give it in a little bag.
I got all the weird candy.
I'm sorry. Did you just like go through your chalk collection and bring it down?
Yeah. Right? They're all kind of chalky. So these are Necco wafers.
This is a sugar and then some weird
those
dust
are okay.
Pulled out of the Nevada desert.
I used to hate these, I think. Well, I
the
know
powder
I
is left over from fucking cobalt processing.
No, that's only the blue ones.
I know.
That's why they're the same size as an 18650.
These are actually pretty good. Those. Some of them are good. There's like a clove flavor one, which is weird. But there's an orange and cream one, which is delicious.
Oh my God. It's like... No, no, honey.
My girlfriend used to live next to this factory in Virginia, and you could like buy bags of the Necco hash that would like fall through the machines, and it was just like bits and pieces that you could just buy like a whole big brown paper bag full.
Was there ever hair in it?
I don't know.
You know, that definitely is super shitty.
Yeah, they're
you
interesting.
Guys, I know you guys have in the U.S. you call them Smarties.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
I like those.
The candy shop sold giant ones, big ones.
Smarties.
Everyone rates them low tier, but I really like them.
Yeah, I like the... They made sour ones too, right? Or they're always kind of tart.
Kind of tart. There's like an order of operations of like how I'll eat Halloween candy. And Smarties are probably somewhere in the lower middle.
No, like, man, they're my go-to.
No, I think you're wrong.
We also have Canadian Smarties.
No, you're definitely wrong.
And those are good too. So, people also don't like
chocolate Smartie. Is it powder? They're powder.
It's like an M&M. It just tastes different. And it's bigger.
That's not. That's don't Which call cameras, them fucking Smarties.
That one's Nigel.
They're M&Ms, but
this one's Nigel.
We call them Smarties, but then what you call Smarties in the U.S. we call Rockets.
Yeah. What color are they? We say red.
They're multi.
Do they have red ones?
Oh wait. So Nigel.
No.
You can't even see me. This camera's you, Nigel.
No, he sees in the middle.
I can see you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's what you're asking.
Yeah, yeah. I said, which cameras is Nigel's? Oh, well, I'll show it to this one.
Is that a hot one?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't see that one.
These are the dots, but they're hot.
Hot dots.
Hot dots.
Hot dots. So they have cinnamon, hot cinnamon, and fire. And it says warning contains capsaicin, extremely hot. You want to try it?
Yeah, I'll try one.
Okay, I also got another thing.
These are either going to be...
I got this guy, Lil Nitro, the world's hottest gummy bear.
I think if you eat that, you actually have, like... I saw people online, you get, like, stomach problems.
Really? It was $10. This one gummy bear was $10.
I could be wrong, but I think it's almost like the one chip challenge where it's, like, if you ate the whole thing, like, you will get an irritated stomach.
Okay, well, we can just lick it. Uh-huh. Take turns licking it.
Yeah.
Or take a little bite off it or something. I'm just warning you. I don't think it's smart
to... I'll bite its dick off. Which is the worst is the top?
Yeah, yeah. So let's start with the... yellow.
Fuck. Oh, you know my favorite part about these?
The paper?
It's all the fucking paper. You can literally hear the paper fire. They could, you know what? No.
Okay.
They shouldn't change anything. Okay. It's nice.
Yellow?
It's cinnamony. It's almost like I'm eating a styrofoam cup that's gone through 400 hours of chemical processing.
Tastes like Fireball.
Wait. So, because I was going to say that I made I did cherry flavor.
Wait, no.
I was going to say, it was cinnamon candy because I turned styrofoam into cinnamon. So that's like the perfect candy.
About a quarter inch of fucking paper on this one. I don't want to eat it. I'm going to peel it off.
Nah, man, the paper is part of the experience.
It is.
Fuck you
guys. You got to pick it out of your teeth afterwards. This is really hot. Mm. Okay, there's a lot more cinnamon in that one.
Huh. It's like, it's weirdly spicy cinnamon.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's a mix of capsaicin and cinnamon. Hmm.
I don't.
Hmm. Oh, man. When you swallow it, it's worse.
I don't think I like that.
Then you're really not going to like this next one. The extremely hot. Oh, you spit it out?
No, I put it there. I can.
Okay, chew on the next one. Suck on it for a little bit and then chew it.
I'm sorry, sir. Don't talk like this in public. It's fucking the paper won't let go of it.
You want to try? Which one? The hottest? All right. John's going for it.
No, Nigel. What's the remedy again? Oh, right. There is none.
Mm.
Cry.
It's sweet. It's cinnamon.
Mm. Once you break through there's like a
shell of protection.
Yeah.
A crust. Clear coat.
Mm-hmm.
Acrylic. You know? Oh, yeah. And you chewed it. Why? Are you stupid?
No, I just want to get to the point.
What? How sharp is the point?
I don't think it's that much worse than the really hot.
Yeah. I'm not noticing really any of a difference.
It's
like throat coating. That's what I fucking hate about
this. Okay, it's not super hot. It's maybe like eating like Tabasco sauce. If you just like went like a hit like a squirt of Tabasco sauce in your mouth.
Yeah.
It's hot. I wouldn't want to eat a lot of these though. That's for sure.
They're not good. Where did you get these?
A candy store at the mall.
Okay. It's like a gag gift kind of place.
No. Just like candy in general, like all types of candy. But I just like the old stuff.
Yeah.
Because like you can't get this.
Like Werther's originals?
No, not that old.
Like the little the unbranded strawberry hard candy.
Oh, that just look like little strawberries.
Yeah, those are my favorite. My grandma had those all the time, which I think is par for the course.
Oh, they're filled with like a goo. Like a goo. Yeah, a goo that's maybe like hardened over time, and it's more like
I love that. The goo is my favorite.
It's like half cured epoxy time.
As a kid, I would suck the goo. I'd crack a hole in the strawberry and like. Suck the goo out of it like a fucking dehydrated gusher. Imagine if you removed 50% of the water from a gusher. Nah, man, the freaking gummy bear's got a little TNT graphic, a nitroglycerin bundle warning.
Okay, so it says fully chew this bear and see if you can handle the heat. Can you go a full 5 minutes without relief?
No, I can't go 5 minutes without relief in anything I do.
I'm gonna look it up. Gummy bear challenge, is that what it is?
Lil Nitro.
I don't like that name. It's got some.
This might be a knockoff version. Wait, the world's spiciest. It says it's 9 million Scoville.
Yeah, that's what it says here. 900 times hotter than a jalapeno pepper.
Like a hot one or the not spicy ones? Because sometimes it's hit or miss.
You're right.
Yeah.
I think you'd be fine.
We can pick a piece off.
Yeah, I'll bite his little gummy.
You have like fingernail clippers or something?
I have a knife. I have a knife. We can slice this boy up. We'll slice up this
people
boy.
Are saying it's this guy goes, anyone try it? What am I in for on Reddit? The guy goes, immense stomach pain.
Man.
Dude, just try like an ear or something.
He's sweating, Kevin.
He's sweating. That's all. Oh yeah, that's all.
He's literally,
that's the chili extract.
It's like oozing out. It's actually oozing out. When I do this, it's like wetting. I'm gently caressing little Nitro with my, is that his cock or a stick of dynamite?
Ooh.
This person says, taste is bad, heat is strong but tolerable, except stomach pain is different than any other hot sauce or spicy food I've ever eaten.
Oh, no,
intense pain, on and off for hours.
Or I'm cutting off his penis. Actually, I'm cutting off his entire
So I think if you like fully chew it and let it dissolve in your mouth, you won't get stomach pain. But the fact that it's like sitting there holes, like it's like a time-release bomb.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. Okay. This guy, everyone says intense stomach pain for hours.
Oh, wow.
Everyone says that.
It smells.
Here, cut off the feet too for me and John.
Smells like weird. I don't know how to describe the smell. Like earthy?
One time, Alan and I, we went to this place called like Nashville Hot Chicken, and we both got the spiciest one that they sold there. And oh my God, dude.
Yeah, that was bad.
We both sat in the bathroom for like an hour and a half because we thought we were going to throw
at
up.
Hank Green's cancer comedy show.
Yeah.
In Oxnard,
you missed
California.
The show.
I missed half of it. Yeah,
I actually thought they were gonna die. It was, dude, touching it, my hands are greasy. Oh man,
here we go.
Do you smell? What is that smell?
It smells like cherry.
No, it smells like there's something like it smells like it
smells
hay.
Like death.
It smells like hay. Am I missing something?
I don't smell that.
Yeah, it's very herbal, like dried
kind
grass.
Of, yeah. Almost like aged tobacco.
How bad is this going to be? All right, I'm going to eat it.
I'm going to eat it.
I'm going to suck.
I don't really taste anything yet. Okay, it's building.
No, that's bad. Mm-mm. I think just the outer layer. No.
You know what that taste is? It's like it's a chili extract.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
No.
Wow.
No. Oh boy.
It's like a chili extract from raw peppers that they condensed and put into a gummy bear.
Wow. I spit it out and it's still getting worse.
It's that bad?
It's bad. It's bad. I spit mine out. I just gave it one little suck.
Wow.
It's very...
I'm just like letting it sit like kind of on the side of my mouth, like on my tooth.
Wow. Bro.
I shouldn't have swallowed what I just swallowed.
No.
All that spit.
No. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Right now it's like I just bit into a habanero pepper or a really spicy habanero and it's just sitting on my tongue.
I spit that out 30 plus seconds ago and it's still getting worse. Holy shit.
I'm not there.
I still have so much left. Look at.
No, don't
imagine
eat it.
If you ate.
I haven't barely eaten anything.
Kevin, why are you still?
I'm just like slowly sucking on it. Ugh.
If that feeling migrates any lower, I'm going to be fucking shitting when I walk for the next 2 days.
Dude, the gummy bear won.
Wow.
I couldn't do a whole one. I don't know if I even want to finish this foot.
How you guys are reacting remind me. I went to a Filipino restaurant the other day.
Yeah.
And all I did was they said, if you guys can even pay attention.
Just talk faster.
They said it was like a sizzling dish and it said nothing about like spiciness. And so it came out on like a plate or a bowl thing that's like hot. So it's sizzling. I swear to God, it was like 70% jalapenos.
Just like, did it like pepper spray the room when they brought it out?
I didn't notice that, but it was like 70% by volume, just jalapenos with the seeds in it. So then I was like, okay, I'll try it. It was the most unedibly spicy dish I've ever ordered. But thankfully—
I just got a wave of relief.
Kevin,
that's endorphins. Your body's trying to save you.
My mom's lactose intolerant and they accidentally put like a cheesy thing on it. So then they remade it with less spice, but it was completely inedible. And I was like, who would eat that?
I
think it hits a threshold that no matter what, your body's not really Oh, and it had Thai chilies on it as well. It was a mix of Thai chilies and jalapenos.
It's like my tongue is fully saturated with pain right now. I get
Yes, that's how I feel.
But it's only on my tongue, so it's not that bad.
That's psychotic.
Dude, I probably dissolved like 10 milligrams of gummy bear and I...
Yeah, anyone who... that I that's like a medical emergency in a gummy bear if you ate the whole thing.
And then explain to me the mentality when someone reacts like that when they're sucking on the gummy bear and they go... So you just got to swallow it quick. They do like three chews and swallow it. And you're like, why? You think that's going to get better? Like, why do you think that the challenge was swallowing it?
My tongue doesn't really even hurt anymore, but there's something going on in my head. I don't know how to describe it. Like a, almost like.
Endorphins?
Maybe, yeah.
Like your body thinks that your tongue is.
Has been stung by bees.
Is on fire right now.
And it's giving me nature's Vicodin. It's like, sorry, nature's opiate.
It's like more pain. Vicodin. More pain isn't going to help you.
Yeah.
So we can just make it go away now.
Right. God damn.
My nose is running.
I think that if I had given even a couple more seconds of suck on that, it would.
John, did you spit yours out?
You swallowed it? Wow, John is. You're. It's going to. You chewed it?
Did you chew it?
You did chew it? Did you dissolve it completely though?
I couldn't. Yeah, wow.
There's no way it's not going to tear your ass up tomorrow. John thinks it's going to tear his ass
up. Okay, here's what you should do.
Yeah.
A jar full of gummy bears with one little nitro in it.
That's actually...
just leave it, let it sit on your desk in your office.
Geneva. That's
and just wait.
Fucking
it says, do not touch my gummy bears. You.
that you might give you some, like a waiver of liability.
Maybe just a foot, just 1 foot.
What if you just do a surgery, just replace one of the gummy bears? Amputate it and replace it.
You like lick it and you stick it back on.
Stick it back on, throw it in the jar. And your warning is, I licked one of these.
Yeah.
What they also don't know is the one you licked is the little nitro. What a shitty gummy bear. Who would like, what?
What's the spiciest thing you guys have ever eaten?
That's up there.
Put it down below in the comments.
Little nitro. I don't
think. What's funny is like, I've had pure capsaicin before.
Yeah.
But I find that the way you get the spice really matters a lot. Like one of the most painful experiences I had was just eating a fresh habanero.
Yeah. Oh, I think
it's just like it's so much worse than pure capsaicin. Actually,
I think I have two spice experiences that I remember. The first one is in I used to make like chili. And I would take a cup and a half or whatever of the chili. It was like bean. Chili had turkey in it. That's like actually like a meat chili. You don't call it chili. You know, there's beans in it. I'd take a scoop of it or a cup and a half or something, put it in a blender, and I'd throw a habanero in there. Sorry, I'm going to have to wipe my nose periodically. And I would... I don't know why, but I would sometimes, after it was done blending, I would sniff it. And I like somehow like didn't... learn the first time that how fucking bad of an idea that was. And so I was getting like freshly pureed and like aerosolized habanero pepper straight to the dome. The other one is, let's see if I can remember. Oh, it was we were in Ohio visiting Peter in 2017 and we went to Buffalo Wild Wings and we were like, oh, haha, the atomic wings. That would be fun. And they were spicy. But like they were long lived spicy, which was the problem. And like going in was like list. Like it was like little nitro in your mouth, which is fine. Like I can handle it. I can sweat and I can salivate and my nose will drip, but I'll survive. When little nitro tries to crawl his way out of your asshole, or I'm sorry, I should say when a Buffalo Wild Wing tries to crawl his way out of your asshole, that was probably one of the worst 7-hour car rides of my life the next day, where we were driving from Ohio, where Peter lives, up to Canada to visit the Hacksmith. And the entire car ride, I had some of the worst like GI pain, like GI tract disturbance.
Yeah.
It was like...
You could feel every inch of your colon.
It was like... Yeah, it was like a tracer around. Like it was tracing out my intestines. Like it was like as it moved through, I could feel it moving through.
My teeth hurt right now. My teeth... hurt.
That's fucked.
I can feel my teeth.
I pussied out on mine and it's still bad. I'm like holding my hand away from me right now because I touched it.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
I'm saving it for when I go piss later. I'm going to rub it on the tip of my penis.
Uh-huh.
It'll make it big, I heard.
What I just thought of for some reason was when I, before I even had a YouTube channel, the two main projects that I started with was distilling my own alcohol.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I don't even, I hate alcohol and I don't drink.
Except that one time in Japan.
Yeah.
That's why he hates it.
I hate the taste. So it's like on some occasions I'll like deal with it, but generally I hate the taste. But I also wanted, I was really trying to extract pure capsaicin from ghost chili peppers. That was like my goal. The problem was there's like no info on the internet. So I was kind of like just in hindsight, I was doing some pretty bad science. But what was also important in that mission was that I couldn't afford gloves. So everything that I did was just with bare hands. And
I think he's actually an idiot.
Well, dude, gloves are expensive. It was like $15 or $20 a box.
You could go to the doctor and say, hey, I'm going to do an experiment. And if I can't get gloves, I'm going to have to come back and waste your gloves. So you might as well just give me some of your gloves now so we can save the trip here.
So either way, I didn't wear gloves. And when you spill like concentrated capsaicin solution in like acetone or ethanol or whatever, rubbing alcohol on your hands, it kind of just like soaks in. And it's like for 24 hours, every time it gets wet, your hands start burning again. And it feels like you spilled acid on them. It doesn't get that bad, but it gets like, it's capsaicin on your hands. And it's like, but it's every time you wash your hands. And there was times where I had it all over my hands, and then you like touch your face, your eyes, and now your face is burning.
I have a video idea for you, Nigel. What did you extract from diabetic piss? I forgot.
Nothing.
What did you
use? I just did a test for sugar.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a science thing. I didn't realize it was like a pervert thing. my video idea for you is extracting capsaicin from my Buffalo Wild Wings diarrhea.
I could do that.
How much capsaicin could you recover from a little nitro?
From a little nitro? It's not that much.
No,
it's
but like after I eat it.
Oh, it'd be like borderline impossible to get anything.
Do you digest it?
Yeah, I mean, a bunch of it gets broken down into something.
Okay. Some of it comes
but
out
just
though.
Enough.
I can just confirm enough. That. Some of it, I don't need a fucking pH tester to know that my ass is on fire when I shit out this little nitro tomorrow.
Because I think the Scoville unit for spiciness, I think it's a PPM scale. Yeah. So it's like if it's 9 million units, it's just 9 million.
I can hear Kevin parts. Breathing funny. Okay.
I don't know.
I would like to start a petition. Can we start a petition right now that we should have two Scoville scales? I want like before Christ and after Christ. Like how hot is it when I eat it? And how hot is it when I shit it? Because some hot sauces are drastically different on the before and afters. And I don't know why. And all I can think about right now is I pray to God that the little nitro only hurt on the way in.
Yes.
Because if it's even a fraction of that on the way out,
I think if you're calling out of work tomorrow. If you didn't swallow like any piece of it, I think you're fine.
I spit out, I think I might have swallowed a little bit of oil, but
That's okay.
I tried to spit out most of it.
Cause I think the things that caused most of the problem is like, for example, I mentioned I went to that restaurant and had the jalapenos.
Like the seeds?
I tried to eat as many as I can. Yeah, seeds, but also like the plant material, because it's all fiber, it doesn't break down properly. So it kind of just like sits and leaks capsaicin out. So I had a stomach ache for like a day because of that. But if in my video where I made pure capsaicin, I even had enough that I hiccuped. Never had a stomach ache and I didn't, well, after that, I never,
like
it didn't go anywhere
because
it
kind of
just like goes away.
Like he fucking tortures himself and then regrets it.
Because it's not really that bad, you know?
He's like, I ate the jalapenos as quickly as possible as a challenge, and then I regretted doing it.
No, it wasn't a challenge. I thought they were like, you know, most jalapenos aren't spicy.
Especially once you cook them.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, they're just for flavor. No, they're the spiciest jalapenos I've ever had anyone serve me ever.
And you finished them all before realizing that?
No, I had the portion that you take off the plate. Okay. I ate it and it was really good. And then it was kind of halfway through. I'm like, oh, this is something's odd here. And by the time I finished, I was in that moment where I was like, I was eating with my mom and I'm like, I'm not doing so good. And I think my stomach's going to be dead later. But that's when my mom was like, I think my mom tasted a little bit. And she's like, I can't even.
Yeah.
It's inedible. My mom couldn't eat it.
That's like the first time I ate a Szechuan like Mapo or like whatever that really hot stuff. It's like literally the plate is just chicken and chili peppers. And I didn't know that you're not supposed to eat the chili peppers.
Kevin, that's my friends brought me to a Szechuan place.
Yeah.
And it was like a dish where it was all together. So everything was kind of black.
Yeah.
Everyone's having fun. And I was dying. I'm like, this is so unenjoyable. And then I asked them, like, how are you guys enjoying it? And they're like, oh, like, it's just chicken. And I'm like, yeah, but like,
what do you do about the
pepper? I was like, the bay leaves and like other crunchy bits in here.
I was like, these things, it's so spicy though. And then they're like, yeah, why are you eating the pure
peppers? Like, it's like fucking shrimp with tails and like 1800 like deer meat with fucking buckshot in it. Like, why are we putting inedible shit in the plate?
Yeah. Take the peppers out if I'm not supposed to eat them.
Yeah, we need a subreddit. It's not we want plates. We want fucking edible food without the parts that I'm not. But don't. I'm not the goddamn chef. Tell me what I'm not supposed to eat.
At least Panda Express burns the peppers so bad that you wouldn't think about eating them.
And there's so much oil in it that it just slides out of you without digesting properly. I mean, I don't know if that happens to you.
I mentioned eating that habanero. That to me is still one of the most painful spice experiences I've ever had.
Yeah. So tell me about this habanero. Like, you just saw habanero and you're like,
regretful masochist.
I never told you. Basically, it was
right?
I became obsessed with spicy food. Okay. Yeah. So I was like, I had this thing where I was like, if it's not spicy, why eat it? So it's like everything I had, I put hot sauce on. Right.
What happened in your childhood?
I've always liked spicy food, but then it got really ramped up when I was probably like 20. But I never had digestive issues from it. So it was like never a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember I would make my soup so spicy that it was like borderline inedible. And I was like, okay, I was like pushing the boundaries. And then I was like, I wonder what a habanero tastes like. I've never had a habanero because I was eating jalapenos. My brother and I would get them and we would just like eat
you,
them.
You
and
live in
like,
Canada. I can't imagine there's a big growing season for.
They don't get
that
hot when it's so fucking cold.
Yeah, for habanero.
But no, it's like we would get them at like restaurants wherever. I'm like, oh, they're like just good. They're not that hot.
Yeah.
Actually, habaneros? Costco had them.
You found
used
not
to give
hot
them
habaneros.
With, no, the jalapenos.
Oh, okay. I was going to say habaneros always fucking.
No, okay. It was. And we would get them at Costco where they were like actually pretty spicy with the seeds. And so my brother and I would always get like these really, we'd make our hot dogs stacked with them. But I was like, you know what? I got to upgrade. I got to do habanero. So I went with my brother at like 9:45, 15 minutes before the grocery store closed. And I'm like, I got to get a habanero. I picked it up, got it. We were driving in the car and I told my brother, I'm like, I'm not waiting till I get home. So I ate it. I ate the habanero. I chewed it and then I was like, oh, this is nothing. And then I swallowed it. And then as I'm driving, I'm like, oh, this is not good. And then by the time I got home, I remember being like concerned, like, because I had never had anything that spicy. I go into the house and my mom's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I feel like someone's stabbing me in the mouth. I'm like, it's just pain. And it went on for like, I want to say like an hour. And then I was good. And that was at 10 something. I went to bed at like midnight. And then it was at like 6 in the morning. I woke up and now the stabbing pain was in my stomach.
It was like your small intestine is the first intestine, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a scientist, but I swear to God, I've heard something that says that you don't feel like there's no nerve endings in your small intestine.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
There like, is I maybe. Stomach.
But I think for some reason, you want to look,
or your esophagus or your duodenum.
I think there's a part of your intestine that you don't really feel things.
Hmm.
Like, why does it hurt the closer it gets to coming out?
I don't know. I mean, I've had like, if you've ever had a stomach ache before, you feel it like in your.
It's not your intestines, is it?
No, I mean, well, if you really got to take a crap, you feel it in your intestines.
What is a stomach ache?
If you have like cramps,
yeah, but is it? I think it's like the last part of your intestines.
Your colon,
maybe it's just like which part of your intestines is most sensitive to pain. Is
all I know is that stabbing pain. I don't remember. It was I felt like the heat of the habanero moving through my whole body.
Yeah,
and
like one of those like when they like make you drink this thing before you get like a radiation, like a CAT scan or something.
It was
like the contrast.
I just felt it like moving.
Or the barium. Yeah,
and the all I remember. Was at the time I was like, so I was like, I gotta go to the bathroom. I was like, I don't know if anything's gonna happen, but all I know is I can't sleep like this. This is like I'm up. So I remember just going to the bathroom, and it was so painful.
Oh yeah.
I never told you this.
It not was the second
so
half.
Painful. The second half was so painful. 10x the first half, like the first experience, my legs went numb. And I remember literally I smacked my leg. It was so painful. Slug is the way to the toilet.
Wait, were you just sitting on the toilet for like hours? Maybe that's why they were numb.
No. It was like 20 minutes. But it was just like my legs went numb. And I actually remember being it was so painful that I think up until that, it traumatized me. I don't eat spicy food anymore.
Okay. I want to make an observation.
PTSD from one habanero.
Never. Well, fucking one habanero tears your ass up.
It was a big one. This was like this big.
You were like a spicy food aficionado. Yeah. And then all it actually took was one habanero to break
you. You're like a fucking COD player who's like, yeah, I would do so good in real war. And then you find yourself in real war. So,
like I told you, I said I never had digestive issues. I want to say this quick. I never had digestive issues. So I was a veteran of having spicy food in my mouth.
Yeah.
But I had never experienced it elsewhere. And I was shocked.
That's not a digestive issue. That's a digestive feature of eating spicy food.
Shooting people is fun until they start shooting back.
Yeah.
I also didn't chew the habanero fully because it was
never.
So spicy.
I have never in my life seen a fucking habanero in the wild in a restaurant. They're always in the food.
Yeah, blended.
Obliterated. I have never seen a habanero used as any form of like pickling or garnish. Like I think they do the kitchens. It's like hiding a grenade from a baby. Like don't even give people the option to eat a pickled ring of habanero.
That's because I think in Scoville units, they average like 10, maybe more, like 300, 20 to 30 like X, like
300,000 or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like they're orders of magnitude more.
So does
spicy
that mean that there's like orders of magnitude more capsaicin in them?
I think it like is how, just, I mean, just,
it's gotta be delivery. Like there's
a lot of
plus
factors
capsaicin.
Though.
Yeah.
Because like pure capsaicin is not that spicy if you eat it because it's so oily. But if you dilute it in ethanol, it's worse.
What if you were to put soap in it? What would happen?
I mean, that would just taste really bad.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't imagine the fucking spiciness wouldn't come through. Would it make it more or less spicy?
I think the more you get it, that it can
Tide
interact
Pod
with
Little
water.
Nitro Challenge.
Yeah. Sorry?
Tide Pod Little Nitro Challenge.
Oh, that's what you're saying. You could do it with like some surfactant that's more edible.
Yeah.
That's why ethanol makes it way spicier.
The what would?
Like ethanol. If you dissolve it into a carrier, it's why? So much. Or an oil, it's because otherwise it can't. It's like a wax. Normal capsaicin is like very hydrophobic.
What
so
does
it
soap
doesn't
do?
Dissolve.
What does soap
it
do?
Will actually soap. I mean, soap encapsulates it. So it might not make it. But it allows it to go into water, which then allows it to diffuse into your like taste buds and your nerves, and you can actually
feels like
feel
a galaxy
it.
Gas recipe. One teaspoon of Dawn dish soap. One.
Have you ever had like spicy wings or anything like that, and then maybe had like a shot of alcohol or like a strong drink?
It is definitely bad.
Or like, or like even use mouthwash like at your home. Like, dude, it can be like an hour later after you eat something spicy and like, you know, mouthwash or a shot, it'll come back. Mm. It's
Wait,
been hiding. Yeah. Huh?
It's like hiding somewhere in your mouth?
Yeah. Like it's still like on your tongue, but like,
well, that's what you're saying. Yeah.
Is it like
yeah.
a sensitivity thing where you like your taste buds or your nerve endings in your tongue?
It's like there's such a small amount, but the alcohol like solvent. So it's like all instantly becomes like available to enter your tongue and your cells.
You think it could be that your like mouth's still irritated from the capsaicin?
I don't know. Maybe
like
could
an
be.
Open wound that you poke again.
Salting the wound.
But that's why I find like even like habanero, for example, which is people it's like, oh, it's a few hundred K Scoville units. But then I've had pure capsaicin and the habanero is worse because obviously probably the amount of capsaicin I had doesn't match up perfectly. But it's carried in all the oils and everything. And it's the habanero is so filled with water that it kind of just like fills your mouth up.
Yeah.
Like Kevin was saying, it just immediately, I don't know. It's like a mixture of oil and water that you feel it, but it also lingers. So like if you eat a habanero, it hurts for probably like 30 minutes to an hour. But if you eat pure capsaicin, it's like probably 5 to 10 minutes.
There's probably different like isomers or whatever of capsaicin.
Exactly, yeah.
And they just like stick around for longer. Some of them trigger different receptors.
There's like a weird,
different affinity.
Food spiciness lasts so much longer and it's so much worse than like fake spice.
I noticed that
Little Nitro is gone.
The Little Nitro was impressive. It stuck around for, I can still feel it.
Really?
Just a little bit, but
I still have like a weird head buzz from it.
Yeah.
Years ago when I was in, my science / capsaicin phase.
Feels like it opened up all the blood vessels in my head.
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
I said that my fascination was alcohol and spiciness. But my real goal was I wanted to make 100% ethanol.
You're never going to talk about a drug arc.
Or the bomb arc.
But I made 100, I was able to make 100% ethanol, and then I put a ghost chili pepper in it.
Oh,
I don't even have a frame of reference for what that means.
So it extracts all of the capsaicin, but then it's 100% ethanol. So it just rips you apart. If you taste it, it gives you horrible heartburn, but then it's just filled with capsaicin.
Wait, could you make a hot sauce that has
So then you also warm it up.
Yeah.
And then you put an MRE warmer on it. It's like you have to prepare it a very specific way.
Wait, maybe you could. Could you make denatured alcohol that was just filled with capsaicin instead of other bitterants or methanol?
It's just would that be
legal?
It's just so brutally spicy.
I bet it would be.
Why would it not be? It's not.
But
meant to
who
drink.
Would use it? Because it's rubbing alcohol. You just your skin burns. If
no,
you
it's for fuel use only. I don't know.
Can you imagine being behind that car? You're like mowing your lawn. Mustard gas. Dude,
the gas stations would become so spicy.
He thought the fucking leaded gas was bad. Welcome to 2025.
The capsaicin's potent enough that if you probably started putting it in your car, the fumes from if it was mixed in with gasoline, like the fumes of the capsaicin would just.
Is there a genre of YouTube video?
Yeah.
Is there a genre of video that you can do that's like, I put capsaicin in my lawnmower and this is what happened?
Yes. Yeah. You use a clip right now of Nigel saying, like, I bet even a little bit of capsaicin you could smell in the exhaust. Well,
of your car.
How much capsaicin can I put in?
I tested Nile's
theory. I meant the fumes.
Views.
I don't think it would make it through your vehicle.
You don't think so? You don't think any would survive? I bet some would survive.
What about like a lawnmower or something that's like really shitty combustion?
It would definitely survive when you first started the car.
It's a fragile molecule. It's not like.
I mean, it's pretty fucking strong if my ass has any say.
Like you can't distill it without not under vacuum. Otherwise it degrades. And that's only like 200 and something C.
Mm. How hot is exhaust?
Like 1,000 C.
And the engine runs. The engine makes some heat in the catalytic converter.
No. I mean like a lawnmower.
I don't know.
It's got to be way lower.
I bet when you're first trying to start it though. Yeah.
What else could you? You could this would be a great idea. You could put some drops of capsaicin extract in like a fog machine. I wonder what that would do.
Probably bad.
Exactly what you think it would do. I was going to ask, how did you make the 200 proof ethanol? Like what's your secret, bro?
Molecular sieves.
You just fractionally distill it up to like the azeotropic
95.
Whatever, 95 or 96. And then you just drop molecular sieves in.
Okay.
Sieves.
Not Kevin's like, eh. Actually,
yeah, I mean,
I
thought that
what
I mean,
didn't
that's
people,
literally like what you have to do or some like weird salts or something.
You know what I didn't. That's what I say I do. Right. When people go to drink it, I'm like, don't worry. Like I just distilled
a little
it,
bit of
in
dust
some food
in there
grade
from
molecular
sieves.
I actually azeotropically distilled it with benzene.
No,
no, I
you
didn't.
Did the lab ethanol method.
It's such an old method that like nobody will reasonably do that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still people still believe it to this day because they're like, oh, you know, don't drink lab ethanol because it's distilled with benzene. Even though they don't, I don't think they do that anymore.
I don't think they do it.
Yeah,
I don't think.
That wouldn't stop me anyway.
I mean, they might. There is a chance that they do it industrially. There is a chance. I wouldn't know though.
Hmm.
What happens if you drink benzene?
Oh, a good time.
Nothing for like probably 20 years.
Oh. That's great.
I'm sure you could get away with
this
it.
This is great.
I'm sure you could get away with it a lot.
People drink rubbing
alcohol.
You get
away with it at least once.
I mean, how much benzene would be in there?
Not much. Four, maybe?
Like, yeah, probably.
Six?
No, not six.
Couldn't be more than six.
Maybe even a half.
Yeah, one half of one benzene.
Yeah, it could be.
What would that be? Propane?
One half of one benzene.
Yeah.
What do you think of recording a fast extra, Nigel?
That lasts like what?
I don't know.
30 minutes?
30 minutes?
30 minutes is fine, yeah.
Knowing Nigel, though, it'll go for like 12 hours.
Wait, why do I make it go longer?
Thanks for watching.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.